This week on Erotic Awakening, Kink Education Part 2, ED and Dementia and Collar Name.
Welcome to Erotic Awakening, an exploration of all things erotic. If you're offended by adult topics or prohibited by law, we recommend you stop listening right now.
We want to thank our latest patron supporter, Lady Bloody.
Head over to patreon.com/eroticawakening today and get your bonus content and support the show.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Today on the podcast, it's part two. Last week, we started to talk about different educational type stuff, and we realized there's a lot more than just one episode worth. So we did last week. What did we talk about last week?
We talked
about the different groups. We talked about events, both online and offline events.
Right. That was the main focus of last week. So, and then we saw that we had more on the list. Oh, yeah. It was a podcast like this one. And we saw we had more on the list, like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to give it its own show.
So a couple different aspects of ways that you can get your kink education. Today, we're going to talk about websites and articles and a couple other things. Dawn, start off with articles. I didn't think we would have much to talk about articles. Well, I mean, blogging isn't a thing anymore, but you were saying articles to you mean something different than that.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit different, and you're right. Blogging may be out there, but I certainly don't know. I don't see a lot of it anyway, but I'm talking more like magazine articles.
Okay.
So, or things like that, or like scientific articles.
Mm-hmm.
So the Science of BDSM team actually has a lot of academic articles out there, which are a great read. Some of them are in journals. They're all listed on their website. So there's actually a lot of academic articles. And then I was kind of wanting to throw an article about us out there because I kind of do that. And it took me by surprise. I had forgotten that it was out there. So someone asked me what Kadishti was. And I'm like, you know, you can Google it. And then I Googled it. And what I found was an article about me and you doing
right.
Kadishti work.
Right.
So, you know, there are some articles out there as well. Be careful where you get your articles from. You really don't want them from Vogue and Men's Health. And, you know, we've talked about those before
sure.
over here. Sometimes the research isn't so great, or it's very vanilla with a little hint of kink in it. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean it's bad information. Just watch where you're getting your information from, right? Or where they're getting their information from.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see Leatherati is no longer a website.
Oh, that's a shame.
Or is it Leatherotica? Maybe there's two.
Leatherotica. So, yep. Literotica. I did not double check to see if that's still around.
That is still around.
Leatherati is the one where we used to get a lot of articles from.
It's still out there, but nothing's been updated since 2017. Mm. Apparently, a lot of the people have moved over to Medium. Now, Medium does allow for BDSM and kink-related articles. The challenge there, of course, is a lot of stuff is behind a paywall. You have to be a paid member. But there's good stuff out there as well.
So it's an option, you know, those type of articles.
But nowadays, people like to do their web searching, and they like to use websites. And you have a couple websites that you recommended, and there's a couple websites that we use pretty extensively.
Yeah, so funny enough, the one that pops into my head is not around anymore, but it's old-timers Remember Castle Realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that, and some people that have been around for a while are going to have a little pitter in their heart. Oh, Castle Realm, that's where we used to get all our information, right? But she, the submissive, passed,
mm-hmm.
and the website wasn't, you know, upkept. So I don't think it's around anymore. What is that machine? Time Machine?
Yeah, the Internet Archive will allow you to go look at old stuff. Mm-hmm. An example, Castle Realm still exists on the Internet Archive.
Yeah, so if you wanted to try that and look at some old articles or some old websites, that would be there. But there are a couple that I highly recommend.
Okay.
And of course, there's tons out there. But the ones that I would recommend at the moment, we have actually interviewed Luna on the podcast before, and she has the Submissive Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the Submissive Guide, and I'll have the link in the notes, in the show notes, lots of fabulous articles, lots of information, lots of writings, lots of, I guess it would be a blog,
mm-hmm.
kind of. So yeah, lots of stuff there. And you know, we have a blog too. We just haven't upkept it recently. We used to put a lot on there.
Same as everybody else, right? Blogging.
Right?
Who does blogging anymore? We're as guilty as anybody else.
So Power Exchange, I would recommend Submissive Guide. And then poly-wise, I would recommend poly.land with Paige Turner.
Okay.
So I double checked. She's still doing a lot of writing. I see a lot of memes from her. And yeah, when it comes to poly, she actually taught for us, her and one of her partners taught for us at Beyond the Love. So the polyamory convention that we used to have, and great stuff. Great stuff. So I would recommend them.
It's funny that we have to, I'm going to rec one of the websites that you have to mention, of course, is FetLife. A lot of people are using FetLife as a teaching platform. They write these big, long articles. I've got some really good information about needle play from a couple articles that have been posted on FetLife. Again, it goes back to just because it's posted on FetLife certainly doesn't mean that it's going to be valuable, but it is a source of information that you will find some good stuff out there. Certainly better than some of the social media stuff where people are just trying to be popular and saying anything that they can to be popular, right? FetLife has a little bit of that, but not nearly as much. There's some legitimately good information out there.
Absolutely. So, and then the other one is Reddit.
See, I'm going to argue that Reddit is valuable anymore.
Okay. So, what I guess I didn't say valuable websites, did I? But that's what I ended up putting on the list was valuable websites, which is poly.land and Submissive Guide and FetLife. And so, why you're usually a Reddit person.
I
Why
am
are
a
you gonna
Reddit
say?
person and I enjoy reading Reddit, but it gets less and less aligned. What gets posted there is less and less aligned with what I believe is good education and more, here's what I think BDSM should be.
Oh, theory instead of life experience.
And that's my perception. Again, maybe you'll find stuff out there that's really useful, but not so much for me anymore. But there are a million different groups. If you have a particular fetish, there is a subreddit for it, and that could be nice as a way to have community around that. It's also, if you're looking for BDSM porn, there's a ton of BDSM porn on Reddit, as represented in a couple of our episodes at this point.
Awesome. So, and then I forgot to put on the list, but should have, because this is what created this whole idea for the podcast was Facebook. There's Facebook groups out there. There's
There
private
are
Facebook
Facebook
groups.
groups.
So I am on a private Facebook group that is mostly people here in Ohio, and I say here in Ohio because that's where we're parked right now. And there was a lot of new people coming on that had no idea that there was education. And that blew my mind.
Okay.
So that was the whole reason to do these two podcasts was to let people know that there's education. Though we're kind of preaching to the choir because they've already found the podcast,
Sure.
right? So they already know that there's education out there. But there was a lot of people in this Facebook group that just didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue that there was poly stuff, fetish stuff, a fet life. I have not been in an environment in years where I've said, how many of you guys are on FetLife or just go to FetLife?
Sure.
Or I posted one of my classes on there that are on FetLife and they're like, oh my God, what's that? Have not had that response in many years and was getting it lately. So I wanted to put it out there. And then I'll put a link to this podcast in the group.
Now, one of the other areas that we recommend for education is mentoring. Now, that one we talked about that, but we have so much to say about it. We are going to break that out into its own show. So, education show number three, although we may
Might take
not.
a little bit before we get it
Yeah,
out.
we have a backlog a little bit at this point. And then the last one we want to talk about today are good old-fashioned books.
Books.
And even though it may not be so old-fashioned, you might be putting it on your Kindle or putting it on your Nook or whatever, or reading actual,
Nook?
yeah,
Is
the
Nook still a thing?
as far as I know,
Okay.
or whatever. There's a variety of great books out there that we certainly recommend to people getting involved in the lifestyle. And also, we've asked some of our podcast listeners what are their favorite books and got some feedback on the
Yeah,
Discord channel as
on the
well.
Discord channel. So we got some good feedback. And the funny thing is that if anybody has any recent books that we could read, and I just did a Sacred Sexuality book club. I just joined, attended someone else's, and they're like, oh, what books can you recommend? And all of mine are older, just like this list. I'm like, if anybody's got any great new books that they would recommend, I need to add to my reading list. So some of these are from when we got started and we still recommend them. So there's two that I read at first. One was The Ethical Slut, and the other one was Different Loving. And I remember Ethical Slut being the smaller book, and it was an easy read. And it was like, oh my God, look at what they're saying we can do, you know? And then I read Different Loving, which was this thick book that took me forever to read. And it was basically saying we can love differently, just like Ethical Slut was saying. They're written in two different ways, but it's all great information. So I still recommend those.
Yeah, absolutely. I've of the more recent books that I've found, I was really impassionedly enjoying Life, Leather, and The Pursuit of Happiness, which is a more, and when I say recent, within the
I was
last 10
gonna
years versus the last 20
say.
years. So I thought that was a great reflection of leather life. And when it comes to power exchange, I got a lot out of Master-Slave Relations from Dr. Bob or Bob Rubel. I found that there was a lot of stuff in there that I found relatable and useful.
And then some people will mention Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns. I've still got a copy of that book, right? So I love that one. And then the topping book and the bottoming book, those have been redone. Also, it's Ethical Slut. It's the new Ethical Slut. And the bottoming and topping book is now the new topping book and the new bottoming book. They updated their language. This is Janet Hardy and Dossie Easton. And so anything they do is fabulous. And then I'm going to say that about a couple of people, that anything they do, I would recommend. Robert Rubel, like you said, right? Anything by Raven and Joshua, so Raven Caldera and Joshua. But again, a lot of their stuff is very spiritual and very woo. It's not going to work for everybody. They have a different way of looking at power exchange than Dr. Bob does, than we do. Anything by Lee Harrington. And again, there's a lot of woo in that as well. So Lee also does things differently than we do. And then we were told on Discord to make sure to mention our books.
And quite legitimately, I thought we would lead with our books, to be honest. If you're not familiar with Hearts and Collars, which is our view of power exchange, Polyamory Toolkit is our view of power of polyamory, with the bend towards these are tools that you can apply for both books versus here's what we think about it, or here's theories around it, or here's how generally some people do it. Although it's valuable to read, for us, it's a matter of here's how
We did
we
it.
did it, and here's how the tools that you can use to do it yourself. You know, other books that, and I want to mention a couple that we got from our Discord channel from the Erotic Awakening listeners. They've mentioned a lot of the books you've already mentioned, like.
And one of them gave us three of his list. So as long as I get his permission, I may put those on the show notes as
Super.
well so that you guys have list of books. He is into them. So what are some of these?
Some of these same as that we've recommended, right? The Pilgrims of Power by Raven Caldera, Master Slave Mastery by Rubel, Real Service by Josh Tenpenny. So these are things we've already mentioned, which is great. But then Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink is a more of a business book and based on military axioms. I'm not familiar with that one. Dawn, how about books that are not kink or power exchange or poly related that have helped you in your path?
I don't know. Hold on to that question because my brain is locked on to the book that I kept in this arm thing. And I think, can I look and see if it's there? Do you remember which one I mean? It was written by a grateful slave. And it was gray and green. And now I'm not going to be able to think of it. Slavecraft. Slavecraft was wonderful. So I actually loved that one. Okay, so things that have helped me that are not power
And
exchange.
I'll even go first to let you process through some of your
Okay,
ideas.
yes,
And
sir.
that way, if we mention the same book, I'll have said it first and you can't steal it from me. The Four Agreements, I think, is a great read for 80% of it. I think it drones for a while, but the Four Agreements themselves are valuable tools in self-growth.
Oh,
Oh man,
I just had
Atomic
one and
Habits.
lost it. Yes.
Atomic Habits is a great one to read. For example, if you're trying to grow as either a leader or a follower, to say, look, I don't have to master everything on day one, make small progress along the way. That's what Atomic Habits is about.
I've got, man, I would have to look at my list. I don't have any in my head. And but the funny thing is I do have one in my head, that I would not recommend as a read. But because I would not recommend it, we ended up having great conversation about it.
Okay.
And because we had great conversation about it, it ended up helping regardless.
Right.
Okay. So this one was called The Surrendered Wife. And for some reason, that popped into my head. Okay. So The Surrendered Wife is really all about not having voice and to be the wife that lets your man do what he wants to do, the surrendered wife. And I remember it was recommended to me by someone in the lifestyle many, many, many years ago. And I read this going, oh, this isn't the type of power exchange we want. This isn't what we discussed. This isn't, no. And you and I had a lot of conversation about it. And we talked about how I could have voice and how, sometimes you might listen to me, you might not, but most of the time I could speak up. I didn't have to feel like I could never speak up. So we had great conversation about it. So anyway, would I recommend it? No, unless you want to get pissed off. And then again, maybe that's what you want, or there's some tidbits in there that you wouldn't resist like I did.
And there's some actual logic to that because if you, what is the saying? If you surround yourself in an echo chamber, you never are introduced to new ideas. So maybe it's worth it for some new ideas. There's a lot of events that I wouldn't necessarily recommend people spend money to go to. Not many of them, actually, but I can still say, well, it was interesting to see an event that's catered to such a different crowd than what I expected, or run in such a way that's so different from what I would expected. All right, so we've got all this education stuff. Of all of it, you're getting in an elevator with somebody, and that person says, "Oh, hey, Don, I want to start my kink education. Where do I start?" And then they make it to their floor, and the door opens, and you only have time to tell them one thing as they wander away. What are you going to recommend?
I gotta say, in-person weekend events. I just really, really do. There are so many classes. It's scary for some people. So maybe you want to start at a munch to meet people to go in. But I know some people that are like, no, this is my thing. I found home. I read a couple of things. I'm jumping into the weekend event. And then I would tell them to get a hotel room so that they have a place to hide when it becomes overwhelming so that they can do it in pieces. So what would you?
If since we haven't discussed mentorship lately, right? Or yet, right? So that's not going to be on my list. Boy, could I argue in-person events? Probably not. I guess no, I would say get involved in your local community.
That's a good
Your
one.
kink education is going to happen slower, but that's okay.
That's
Slowing
true.
down is actually okay. Take it in small chunks instead of hitting what people often call slave crave or something like that, right?
Some
Take it
sort
in
of
small
frenzy.
chunks and move into it slowly like that.
That's not a bad idea. While I was saying weekend, I was thinking, ooh, maybe join your local group and do it a little bit slow. But we had that discussion last week that sometimes they're not going to have what you're looking for right off the bat. So that was why I was like, ooh, jump into the deep end, which I don't usually recommend. I'm not that sort of personality.
And I want to put out a small note that if you do say, all right, I'm going to do the weekend event, but these suckers are expensive, and they are expensive, absolutely, always reach out to see if they need volunteers. A lot of times you can work the registration area, and that will give you a discount. Depending on how much you work, you might even get to go to the event free. That impacts how much of the event you actually get to enjoy. But if if you sign up and say, I can be there a day early or be there at the end and help you set up, man, those people are golden.
That is a huge thing. And by volunteering, you get to meet more people and your face gets known. And that is huge with being vetted,
Yeah.
with being, yeah.
And the other thing that for all these education, whether it's an in-person class or a book or an article or anything, right? Don't accept that the person presenting the education is a ethical, skilled, knowledgeable person, right? Always take it with a grain of salt. Always take what you need and leave the rest. If they give you something valuable, something that you think might be valuable, give it a try. See if that's valuable for you, but don't accept anyone's word on it just because somebody else put them on stage. There are more than one events out there now that the only requirement that they have for you presenting at the event is that you are willing to do it for no compensation
Great.
whatsoever. If you're willing to buy your own ticket and pay for your own way and teach a class, they're more than happy to let you teach whatever you want. That's their vetting process, and that's a little unfortunate.
Right. So don't assume
Right.
presenters have been vetted. I know when we ran events, we worked our butts off to vet people and still had a couple of hard moments with who we brought in.
Sure.
And that was with doing all the work in the background. And not everybody goes that far. Just throwing that out there.
Now, the exception to that is if Dan and Don are presenting at an event. So maybe you'll see us in one of these places that we'll be eventing. Trust us, we've already vetted us. We're awesome. So maybe when you're in either Maryland or Ohio,
Where we are now, or Pennsylvania, Indiana,
Chicago or Michigan,
Kansas City, Las Vegas.
come see us in person at the various events that we are presenting at out there.
Absolutely. So keep up with all our events, book news, discounts, and more via the Erotic Awakening newsletter.
And get your EA shout out like Ron from Georgia.
Head over to eroticawakening.com and subscribe today.
So, Don, is it truly necessary that we talk about erectile dysfunction? Because I heard it's a myth. I heard that it doesn't really exist.
Really?
Yes.
You know
All
what?
men are virile all the time, is what I heard.
You know what? I'm going to throw in here that you and I are working on our certification for hypnosis, and I am curious if that is going to come into play with erectile dysfunction and women getting older and not being able to get as wet and all those things.
Are we going to sidebar into that
We're not going
conversation?
to sidebar
Because
into
I've
that.
got an
I'm
answer to
just
that.
throwing that out there.
I will point out the we will be in Maryland shortly presenting at Beltane, and I am actually going to ask Hypnostory, who is one of the presenters out there and
Ooh.
probably, in my humble opinion, one of the best hypno kink presenters out
Nice.
there, that I'm going to ask him that exact question. I'm going to say,
Okay.
yeah, I'm going to tell him that you aren't getting.
No, you're not throwing me under the bus, are
Well,
you?
I'm sure as hell not gonna throw
Oh,
me. I'm like, I'll say some friend of ours wants to know. But anyway.
So we could sidebar with the weirdest things, but I did want to throw this out there, right? Because sometimes we have listeners send us links, and I thought this one was kind of curious, but this is also one of those articles where you have to be careful where it comes from and what they're actually saying.
Okay.
Okay. So this article is by Ohio Hedgehog, not by, it's from Ohio Hedgehog. He sent me the link, and he said the article said that medications that treat erectile dysfunction may be tied to lower risk of Alzheimer's disease, a new study indicates.
Okay.
Okay, but then it goes on to say that the study was published Wednesday in the online issue of Neurology, the medical journal of American Academy of Neurology.
Okay, seems reasonable so far.
Right, except then it says it does not prove that erectile dysfunction drugs decrease the risk of Alzheimer's. It merely shows an association. So what this means is it says it doesn't prove that ED drugs decrease the risk of Alzheimer's. It merely shows an association. So people that were in this study, and I'm going to air quote it, people that were in this study, not nearly as many of them ended up with Alzheimer's that were on ED drugs than those that weren't. But they only tested people that the way they did it wasn't a blind study. And usually you need a blind study for it to really be considered research. So what they're saying is it merely shows an association. So what this reminds me of is in one of my classes in college where the study showed that there was more robberies the more ice cream was sold in New York City. All right. It doesn't prove that ice cream sales has anything to do with robberies. It's just an association. What they figured out was that there's something in the middle, which is sunshine. When it's cold out, people are not buying ice cream and they're not doing robberies because they're bundled up at home, not robbing things. When it's hot out, there's more robberies because people's windows are open and car windows are open, and more people are also buying ice cream. So there's an
I see. I got you.
association. There's not a, there's another word for it, and I can't think of it. So with,
Correlation does not something something.
right.
We're not a science
We're not,
podcast. But so basically, you're not telling me that I can fend off Alzheimer's by taking my little blue pill every day.
Right. But they're saying there's an association, which means there could be a reason that you need the little blue pill that also causes Alzheimer's. So there's something in there associated. So I'm actually really curious about this. I wanted to mention it because I'm curious as to what other studies, because now that they have an association, more people are going to look at this, especially big pharma that wants to sell more pills.
Sure, absolutely.
So, so there'll be more funding in that. So anytime you guys get, you had a little head nod of like, yeah, maybe.
Exactly, yes.
So I'm just kind of curious how that's going to work out. So if any of you guys have links to interesting stuff like that, you
Sure, absolutely.
know we're 15 years in. We can use all the help you guys can throw at us.
And the funny thing is, we've been around long enough at this point. Some of the articles you might have sent us 10 years ago have been proven out at this point.
Right,
Now
been
we've got 10
proved.
years of study, so we can go back
Exactly.
to it.
Oh, that was actually kind of neat to look into if
Yeah.
any of that's come up.
So finally, one of the questions on the Discord that recently was this, Dawn, and this is an interesting question that I've never heard before, never thought of
Never
before.
heard of, never thought of.
In you and I, now that we have a new RV and we have a new truck, and we have decided that the truck's name is Snowball.
Right.
And that is, if you're a Simpsons fan, you might catch that its actual name would be Snowball 2. And we decided that the RV has a name.
The RV decided what its name was. It yelled it into my head.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yes, we're just going that far.
So we have this thing where sometimes inanimate objects get names. So somebody on the Discord asked, would you name your collar like you would name some other inanimate object?
Yeah, and I really thought everyone was going to go, no, right? Because when I think collar, I think my big leather collar,
Right.
right?
Okay.
Which is high protocol, which is, all these things. Why would you do something that's floofy, which is how I see it, floofy to name your big leather collar? But then I saw other people answering, and I'm like, people feel differently about
Sure.
this. Some would say that, and I can actually see this because when I go to get that collar, I want to say, would you like me to go get my collar? But it's not my collar, it's your collar that you gifted me. But it feels weird to say, would you like me to go get your collar?
Right.
Because that feels
Yes.
like you're supposed to be wearing it, which also feels weird. So I can see why people would want to name it.
And to clarify what you said, I did not gift you the collar. I gifted you the right to wear the collar.
True, that is true.
And there's an interesting balance because we have I am the person who wants that I like to hand on collars. If the person is no longer with me, they give me the collar back because it's my collar. And that collar, in kind of a leather type of tradition, or at least in my view of a leather tradition, will continue to live on in other people. There's some exceptions to that, but it's super interesting that sometimes they get names that are possessive. The one exception is. So one thing that comes to mind is Bat's collar,
Yes.
right? This is the collar that Bat wore for me. Bat passed. No one else will ever wear this collar. And then when I see this collar, I say that's Bat's collar.
Right.
But it doesn't have a name. It's not like the collar itself is named, but it is named in that way.
Yeah, and I ended up replying to this question on Discord that I've only ever named it Dan's collar. And because it's you own it. If you wanted to name it, you could, but I don't. Yes, I can see how that would work for some people. Do you want me to go get, what would you name it? Do you want, because George is what pops into my head, but George is what
Now
always pops into my
but the
head.
funny thing
That
is,
was my dildo.
your dildos get names, but we're weird about collars having names. It
Yes.
doesn't really make sense.
Yes, that tentacle dildo was George. George got stolen and was replaced by Georgette. Georgette was retired. So, yes, my dildos get names for some reason. But the collar feels weird. The RV has a name, the truck has Name.
Is the new dildo going to get a name?
I don't know. We shall see.
We'll tell you about the new
We'll
dildo
tell you
next
about the
time.
new one.
This time around, though, we'll wrap up by telling you about a Kraken.
So, a Kraken coffee table. And I think this one came through on Instagram. So, this was by Minotaurus. So, should be on the Discord list. But because it's a Kraken, it may be under not safe for work. It may be under random pictures, which everybody can see.
Okay.
So, and someone just sent a octopus teacup holder.
Enigma.
So, Enigma did. And yes, but the Kraken coffee table is like carved out of a single piece of wood. How did I miss some of this stuff that you're scrolling past? So it was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So that's all we have on the list, but we're scrolling through pictures right now. And in the one that everybody can see, there's a lot of memes, there's a lot of pictures, and then the not safe for work. There's picnic table sex, there's vampire sex, there's
Really interesting Star Wars Heads Up Limited Edition naughty Star Wars, as well as a really nice artist, Realm Art, that Peachy told us, turned us on to. You can find that at realmartist.com. Some really nice stuff there.
Awesome. I think that's it for today, sir.
Well then,
You can support us
be a part of the Erotic Awakening community.
on Patreon and get early access to the podcast, a free version of the audio polyamory toolkit, free ebooks, member-only Discord access, and more.
Find all the goodies at patreon.com/eroticawakenings today.
Help others find us. Take a moment to support the podcast. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Or just tell your friends.
Join the conversation with us and other listeners. Use the link from the Erotic Awakening website for our growing Discord channel.
And feel free to reach out to us. We love hearing from you.
Contact us with questions, podcast comments, or just to say hi.
You can find us as Dane and Don on FetLife.
And Erotic Awakening on Instagram.
And just E-R-E-R-E-O. Or just email us at DaneandDon@eroticawakening.com.
Like anyone listens to this part.
Sometimes they do.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Don.